and then he died, and Jehoram, the other son, took over. And then on the other side, we had Jehoshaphat was good, and then Jehoram, with his son, he married with Athaliah, made him go bad, and their son was Ahaziah. He was wicked. He gets killed tonight in the review. And then we're going to get, of all things, we're going to get Athaliah actually reigning over in the other kingdom over there. So that's kind of where we are with that king. Tonight we'll start off with Jehu about to be king and Ahaziah on the other side over there. All right, Ahaziah and Judah. Here we go. Review of what we talked about Sunday. Ahaziah is the youngest son of Jehoram, who was very, very wicked. It is, I mean, we're in Judah now, in the southern kingdoms. He's the only brother that's left because all the others got killed off by a raid from the Philistines and the Arabians. His mother is Athaliah, Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And then his uncle, Jehoram, a king in Israel. So he's got all this family tie in here. Very young, 20 years old. He was reigning 1 year. He was very, very, very wicked. So that's where he is down in Judah. Leave him sitting down there for a minute. Let's go now to Damascus, way up in Syria. And it's Elisha's going up there. Ben-Hadad is the king. Ben-Hadad is sick, and he wants to know if he's going to get well or not. So he sends one of his commanders, Hazael, out to meet Elisha. And it's a big gift for him, man of God, with the question, am I going to get well or not? And Elisha says, tells him two things. Yes, he's going to get well, but he's going to die. So Hazael takes that message back. Well, before we get that, Elisha then just starts looking intently at Hazael and starts weeping. And Hazael says, well, what's wrong? What are you doing? And he says, I know the evil that you're going to do to Israel. You're going to set them on fire. You're going to cut open their pregnant women. It's all this terrible stuff you're going to do to the nation of Israel. And Hazael looks back and says, me? How am I going to do that? And Elisha tells him that the Lord's revealed to him that you're going to be king in Syria. So, with that knowledge, Hazael goes back and tells him, hey, man, yes, you're going to get well. You're going to recover. The next day, he goes in and takes a wet bedcloth and apparently suffocates him to death and kills him. So he now becomes king in Syria. So we got Ahaziah down in Judah, and we got a new king, Hazael, up in Damascus in Syria. Now, let's stop a minute. Go back to Elijah's time, not Elisha. Back up to Elijah. Remember after the meeting on Mount Carmel with Elijah and the prophets of Baal. And then the next chapter, Elijah gets all down on himself and thinks he's the only one left serving God. Goes down to Mount Sinai, the whirlwind and the fire and then the still small voice where God speaks to him. Remember that? And God told him, I got things for you to do. Get up and go. And three things he told him to do. Go anoint Hazael, king of Syria, Jehu, king of Israel, and Elisha to take your place. Remember that? Way back when. Well, he went and got Elisha next. We know about that. But the other two are kind of hanging, it seems like. But when it's now had Hazael told by Elisha that you're going to be king in Syria. And when it's the next slide, going to be Jehu being king of Israel. So that happened way back with Elijah, just now being passed out and actually happening. So, let's get Jehu now. Jehu is in Ramoth-Gilead. Remember what that is? Over on the right side, down below Syria. And there's war going on between Syria and Israel. And so, Elijah tells one of the sons of the prophets to go pull Jehu out, take him into an inner court, inner room, and run king and flee. Run. He gets a message when he does. Now here's the message. Jehu, your assignment from God is to wipe out the house of Ahab. Wipe it out. Kill everybody involved with the house of Ahab. And very last part down there. You're going to kill Jezebel. The dogs are going to eat her up. And any place to bury her. That's Jehu's assignment from God. So, he does that. The son of the prophet goes in. The commanders are all there. With Israel's army. Hey, commander, which one of us? You, Jehu. Tells him the message, and he flees. Jehu goes out and tells the other commanders what's happened, and they all are glad to see him to be king, and they get behind him, so he's got the army backing him up now. So, yeah, Jehu anointed to be king in Israel. There's war going on. War's going on between Syria and Israel. That's why they're over in Ramoth Gilead. Ahaziah and Judah is helping his uncle Jehoram and Israel fight against Syria. Jehoram is over there in Ramoth Gilead, and he gets wounded. He goes back to Jezreel to heal. Ahaziah goes up to visit him. So both of the kings, king of Israel, king of Judah, are now both in Jezreel. Jehu's got an assignment. Wipe out the house of Ahab. So he leaves Ramoth Gilead. He goes over to Jezreel, where both of the kings are. Watchers looking. See somebody coming. They send a horseman out. Are you coming in peace or not? The horseman gets followed right behind him, doesn't come back, tell him anything. Send a second horseman out. Same thing. Then they realize that guy's drowning like Jehu is. It must be Jehu in that chariot. So, King Jehoram of Israel and King Ahaziah of Judah both go out to meet Jehu as he's coming in. Where does he meet him? Right on the place where Naboth's vineyard used to be. Remember that? Jezebel had Naboth killed to get the vineyard for Ahab. So, when they met Jehu, they soon realized that Jehu's there for bad purposes. He's going to kill him. He yells out treason. And they start fleeing. Jehu draws an arrow and shoots Jehoram, king of Israel, from the backside, comes out his heart, and kills him. And he tells the men there with him to throw him out right on that plot of ground there where Naboth's vineyard was. But I remember back when we were riding with Ahab, and God said, this is where he's going to die because of his blood. They threw him on that to fulfill God's prophecy about that. But now we got Ahaziah. He's left. He's fleeing. Jehu goes and chases him down. He shoots him and kills him. They take him back to Jerusalem to bury him. So now we have a new king in Syria. We have a new king in Israel, Jehu. And we have no king in Judah. Both been killed. We'll still got Jezebel to deal with. So Jehu goes back to Jezreel then to find Jezebel. She gets all prettied up, waiting for him, and says, Jehu, you come in peace. She's up in a upstairs window above the wall. Jehu shouts out up there and says, anybody up here on my side? Therefore, the eunuchs stick their head out and say, yes, we are. And he says, throw Jezebel out. They throw her out. Blood hits, splatters the wall. They trample over her body. And there he goes again, something. He says, after all, she is a king's daughter. We all do something. Go bury her. They go out and try to find something to bury, and there's nothing there. The dogs will eat her up, except for a few body parts. So nobody can say, here lies Jezebel. So, how's things going so far? Jehu's done exactly what God told him to do. He's wiping out the house of Ahab. That's kind of what we got through last time. Now let's watch Jehu go to work. He's got more to do. All right, getting into tonight's lesson. Actually, we're in 2 Kings chapter 10 now. Remember, right? 2 Kings chapter 10. All right, Jehu's a rebel. He's overthrown his master. Kill the king. The army's on his side. So he writes letters and sends them up to the people in Samaria. The elders there have got all the sons of Ahab, and they're raising them, training them. So he says, okay, you pick out the best one. You pick out the one that already the king. And you put him on the throne, and you get ready, and we'll go to war. We'll go to battle. And they get up there, and they say, they're terrified. They know what Jehu's done already. So they send back and say, no, we surrender. Okay, if you surrender, you get me the heads of those 70 sons that they have by tomorrow. So they do. They take those 70 sons, they cut their heads off, take it to Jezreel, and Jehu tells them to put them in two piles outside the gate. So he goes out there the next day and meets them. And says, okay, you're right. I killed the master. I killed the king. But look what you did. You killed all of his sons. You killed 70 of them. It's almost like he's bringing them into this treasonous rebellion with him here, making them part of it. But what's happened? What did God say do? Wipe out the house of Ahab. Are they done? Wipe out the house of Ahab. Just exactly what God told Jehu to do. Now, how many times have we seen these dynasties start and stop? If I count it right, this is the end of the third dynasty. Right, the Jeroboam, his son, they have one more king and his son, and then Zimri comes in for like a week, I didn't count him. And then Amri comes in, Amri, Ahab, and his sons. I think this is the end of the third dynasty in Israel. The third set of kings and sons. Wiped out here. Because they're not obeying what God said to them. And Jehu's not finished. He finds all the relatives of Ahab. Anybody he can, all his chief men, anybody that's related to Ahab in any way, he finds them there and he kills them. He's totally wiping them out. That's in Jezreel. Now he goes down to Samaria, which is really the capital of Israel. He's going to do the same thing there. Now, on his way, he meets 42 men from Judah, who apparently did not know, they didn't have instant messenger back then, did not know what had happened to Ahaziah and to the queen and to everybody else. And so they're going up to Jezreel to visit with them. First, Jehu says, well, take them alive. If they were alive, they'd go out and kill all of them. So that's 42 more, all the relatives of Ahaziah and his family that he's wiped out. Then as he goes on towards Samaria, he meets up this gentleman named Jonadab. Now, don't know much about him. We'll tell you just a little bit more about him just in a minute. But Jehu asked him, said, are you on my side? Are you with me? And he said, I am. And then he says this, come into my chariot and see my zeal for the Lord. Now, can you think of what we talked about? How has Jehu gone about accomplishing this task he's done so far? I don't think he'd be very slow and lackadaisical about it. I think he is on fire. He is going to get this task done that God's given him to do. Remember this little verse. We're going to talk about this some more in a few minutes. My zeal for Jehovah. Jonadab, this guy that Jehu met. Much about him. But you know, he established a tradition in his family that there'd be no wine, they don't plant a vineyard, they don't plant any crops, they're nomads, they live in tents, and they don't have houses. And we get this 250 years from now, way down in the time of Jeremiah, in Jeremiah chapter 35. Jeremiah is drawing a contrast. Think about when Jeremiah prophesied right before the destruction of Jerusalem. He's trying to get the people there to repent. And he uses this family as a comparison between, for 250 years, they have honored this tradition, this command of their father. No wine, no vineyards, no planted crops, no houses. the Israelite nomads, all this stuff that they come to do, they have done for 250 years. Why can't you do that, Israel, or Judah in this case? Why can't you do that? He's drawing this comparison to Jeremiah 35. That's really all we know about this thing that John about, that I know of. It's when Jeremiah uses them for a comparison, because they did this 250-year time frame here. They're supposed to, but Judah couldn't do that in honor of God. All right. Let's look at Athaliah taken care of. Keep in mind who we wiped out so far and where we are. Athaliah heard that her son Ahaziah is dead. So she's going to take over. So she kills all her grandchildren. Kills her own grandchildren. Make sure there's nobody else that can get on the throne. Where'd she learn this kind of stuff from? How about mama? With her mother? Jezebel. Cold-blooded murderer. We know that. Going back to Nabal. Here with Athaliah the same way. But she actually wipes out her own family. So she can take over and rule in Judah. Make yourself a ruler. Now, she's from Israel. She's the daughter of Ahab and Jezebel. She's actually from Israel. But due to the intermarrying that we know about, she's also tied into Judah. So, let's look at it again. See how it all ties together. We've been told this is the same slide over and over. Ahab and Jezebel, two sons that were kings, and Athaliah's a daughter. We got Jehoram, we're going to tell you now, we got Jehoram on the other side, married to Athaliah. Their son Ahaziah, he's just been killed. And Athaliah's going to come over there now and make herself ruler in Judah. Now, you say, that's strange. Yeah, it is. Because Athaliah's reign over there, we've actually got a daughter of Ahab and Jezebel ruling in Judah. But look back. Who has just been killed? Jehoram was who? Her husband, right? And Israel, Jehoram and Judah was her husband. Ahaziah was her son. So she's right in the family there. She's the wife of the king that got killed. She's the mother of the king that got killed. Even though she's over in Judah, and you think she belonged in Israel, she really kind of ties in family-wise over in Judah, too. But all things we've got, the daughter of the worst king Israel has seen so far, and this wicked Jezebel, who's the leader of all the worshiping of Baal, that's now set up to be the ruler over in Judah, which is supposed to be the lineage of Christ. Now this last class, this slide. When they killed Ahaziah, there was nobody to assume power over the kingdom. Let me slide it last time. Nobody to assume power over the kingdom. So therefore, who's going to take over? Athaliah says she will. Okay. But there's one point we made last time. It does not say the lineage of David has been wiped out. That's kind of the assumption, if you read that, that there's nobody to take over power. But, there's one little thread. God is going to hold to it. Get there in a minute. All right. Ahaziah has a sister, Jehoshua, half-sister, same father, different mother. She's the wife of Jehoiada the priest. So we're in Judah now. Ahaziah, he's been killed, the king, half-sister, Jehoshua, wife of Jehoiada the priest. And when Athaliah starts her killing of all his grandchildren, she gets one of them, an infant. And she and her husband hide him in the temple. In a room. One place I read said it was like a storage room for where they put mattresses or something, for the bed clothing type stuff. They hide him there in the temple for 6 years. This is Joash. He's the one little thread that's left. The lineage of David, to Solomon, to Rehoboam, right down through the kings here. through which is coming Messiah. Go back to 2 Samuel 7. Remember that again. What did God say? Establish your throne. How long? Forever. That's a lie. It's not going to break it off. That's a lie. It's not going to stop it. God's got his plan. It may be down to one little baby. But God's got his plan. He's going to take care of it. All right, Jehu. He's on a rampage here. He's doing what God told him to do. Right on the line. He ran 28 years. Left evil out there, but well, he's seeing evil yet. So far, he's doing what God told him to. And he said, you think Ahab and Jezebel worship Baal? They didn't worship Baal at all compared to how to worship Baal. I'm really worshiping Baal. In fact, get this thing started, we have a great big sacrifice thing to Baal. So he calls for all the workers to worship for Baal. All of them. If you don't come, what's the penalty? Death. That's how important it is. All the workers for Baal are coming to this big blowout thing that J.U. set up to worship Baal. You've got to be there or you're going to get killed. The kingdom come in, they fill the temple of Baal. Jehu and Jehonadab's with it. They go in and they offer incense to Baal in this temple. So make sure there's no worshipers of Jehovah here. Only worshipers of Baal. Don't want anybody infiltrating us here. What they don't know is Jehu's got 80 soldiers stationed around the city. He finishes off that incense. He gets the word to him. They go in and kill all the worshipers of Baal. Walk them out. So that was Jehu done. All this stuff, right? But the end of worship of Baal. They destroy all the idols. They turn that temple into a latrine. They wipe it out. So, where was Jehu? He's wiped out the house of Ahab. What God told him to do, right? That was an assignment for the prophet. So the prophet went and told him, what you go do, wipe out the house of Ahab. Done it. Baal worship? God liked Baal worship? Of course not. What's Jehu done? He's wiped it out. Totally wiped it out. How things going in Israel right now? Here we go. So good that Jehovah tells Jehu that your sons will sit on the throne for the fourth generation. It's not going to be a little short dynasty. One king, son, and gone. One king, no. Four generations. What's the next point coming on the slide up here? Chapter 10, verse 29. What's the one thing that's next for Jehu? What does he worship? The golden calves. Okay? He worships the golden calves. In Hosea chapter 1, that's the prophet. Wait over here. Remember the story where he's told to go marry prostitute, I have a son, called his name Jezreel. God told him, for a little while, I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu. Jehu has done all this bloodshed, and God said, I'm going to avenge that bloodshed, and I'm going to bring an end to the house of Israel. So what he said, making Jehu there. Now, here's a question. Why did Jehu kill all the house of Ahab? Not a trick question. Why? God told him to. Any doubt about that? That's what God said. Exact silent God gave him. Go wipe out the house of Ahab. Okay? Now, here's the question. Did he do it because he wanted to follow God? God told him to. He went and did it. So here's a question for us. How often do we do what God wants us to as long as we like it? When we get to something we don't want to do that God wants us to do, we do what we want to do. What did Jehu do? Wipe out the house of Ahab. Wipe out all the prophets of Baal. I sure like those golden calves, though. So I'm going to keep those around. What did Jehu do? You know, I really like teaching classes. I work on that for a long time in the class stuff, but I hate going to nursing home. I'm not going to visit. I really have a big, great thing with all my young folks. I work on the summer classes. I love the summer classes. I do anything to get that thing going. But this thing over here, and you know, I don't really choose to do what? Oh, I'm serving God. I'm doing this and this and this. What are we really doing? We're not careful. What we want to do. What we do is good. It's life. Jehu was doing exactly what's right. What about this other stuff? What about crushing those two golden calves, Jehu? And getting rid of the idol worship. You want to do that? Yeah, I don't think so. Keep this in mind. Let's talk about this one. Okay, good. All right, let's go back to this thing about zeal a minute. Go back to zeal. Jehu, I think, was just consumed with zeal to get done what God wanted him to do. Okay, I can't imagine him just taking his life some days of time without kidding the people of I think he just went everything I could read through it, and he did it. Mission. Go get it done. Zeal. Great energy. Enthusiasm. Accomplish an objective. That's what zeal is. Go get it done. There's some synonyms for it. Passion. Fervor. On fire. Enthusiasm. You can't say those words slowly and easily. That's going to come out that way. Say, yeah, he was on fire for more. And he's going to get it done. Zeal. Come into my chariot and see my zeal for more. Let's look at a few verses talking about zeal. Just got to get zeal in our mind a little bit. Psalmist in Psalms 119, verse 139 writes, "My zeal has consumed me because my enemies have forgotten your words." The psalmist was upset because people had heard the word of God and had forgot it. And one place I read said, it's almost like forgot it on purpose. They just threw it aside. And he said, "My zeal has consumed me." He's doing everything he can. And I'm going to Jehu. But everything I can because of this. I'm going to do so much more in the service of the Lord because of what these other people have done. They've rejected the work. I've got to get more done. Zeal. Getting it done. But Paul writes, Ephesians chapter 3. But he's talking about his own pedigree, if you will. Hebrew of the Hebrews. Concerning the law, what? Pharisee. Concerning zeal, what did he do? He's persecuting the church. Well, Saul went in to get those letters to go to Damascus. He said, you know, I think I'm going to Damascus and people are going to arrest a few Christians right there, you know.
I'll fix it. I'll fix it.
Zeal. Saul was on fire. He was consumed with his task of what? Stopping this new religion that's come out. I told you Judaism. He was going to stop it. And we know he had a zeal at that time without knowledge. He didn't know. But I have no doubt he was just as zealous for what he's doing for God's that time as what we are today. Maybe more so. He could turn around then, he could write later on to the Romans, Romans 10. He's talking about the Israelites. He's not the Romans. He's talking about the Israelites, the Jews. He said, my prayer for Israel is that they be saved. Do they have a zeal for God? If they're lacking the knowledge. They had a zeal. How much zeal did the Jews have for God? John chapter 16, right before Christ died, he told them, he said, that's a blind, this guy is ill, I know. He told them, the time's going to come when people kill you, talking to his apostles. They're going to think they're doing God a service. They were fighting for what they believed. Anybody that apply to today? Religious people got around us that are on fire doing what they're doing to serve God. Misguided. Misguided. Okay? But they're on fire. They're doing, they're serving God. You want this click up here? Nobody's going to say? Watch out for us. Our zeal is not misguided. We can be just this, think we're working just as hard for God as our religious neighbors are. We'll be going the wrong direction. We won't have that zeal for the wrong direction. Verse 7. Zeal. Let's look at this one. Zeal can be very positive. To be contagious. Look here. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Paul says concerning the ministering to the saints, I don't even write to you about that. But I know your willingness. I boast about you. I boast about you as the Macedonians. But Achaia, who is writing to, you were ready a year ago, and your zeal has stirred up the majority. You're so zealous in the same other folks have been stirred up by it. Cranked up their tractor, you might say. Called your zeal. Your zeal is on fire. It's contagious. It's setting others on fire. But those words are looked at. Passion. Fervor. Enthusiasm. Energy. Intensity. For doing what God wanted to do. That's what Jehu was doing. What these people here were doing. They were on fire. They were zealous. They were serving God. Come in my chariot. See my zeal for joy. Now, here's where I'm going to get shot. Maybe if I want to say what I'm going to say, I'll give a disclaimer up front. I know what the verse says about things being done decently in order. I agree with every word of it. Don't take anything I'm saying otherwise. I am not suggesting we get up and jump down the aisles. Not that. But sometimes I get concerned that we are so careful about doing things decently and in order. They were so concerned about being so reverent and humble before God, and we should be. But we have no zeal. We serve with enthusiasm. We don't get up and get things done. All we want to do is like Jehu did. We do the part we like. But we don't get the other part done. saw this week. Call came up this day and called the Super Bowl 50. I did not watch the Super Bowl. But some guy just excited about telling our neighbors about Jesus as we did talk about football. What happened? Okay, I'm off my soapbox. Comments. I said too much, so I say so. Anybody? Comments? I missed you with actually 30 seconds. So. Yeah, you had zeal. He wanted to get things done and God wanted it done. Misguided, like some of those folks we talked about. But he went to get it done. Maybe it's too. Crank our motors. Get at it. God's got work for us to do. It follows what he was doing, but follows what he wanted to do, and that's what God wanted to do, everything was good. They got the guy's heart right. That's what I want to do. Okay, time for the bell. Thank you very much for listening to my rant.